FU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Welcome to Screen Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Screen Therapy. People who live with panic attacks sometimes describe them as feeling like a heart attack, like they're about to die. Jose Prieto, guitarist and vocalist of Make War, had his first panic attack in a taxi. His friends called 911, and it was the beginning of a long journey trying to understand his condition. Jose learned it was the stressors in his life that brought on the attacks. Sometimes he'd have them on tour. Sometimes he'd have to cut his band's live show short to deal with the anxiety around having another attack. Eventually, Jose learned that acceptance, along with therapy and meds, is key to controlling the panic. He came to terms with the fact that his condition wasn't going away, but if he embraced it, even loved it, it could be under his control.
Next time you decide to ruin my life with all your nonsense, show up when I'm having fun, then make me doubt my own existence. You're my worst self-enemy. Why can't we just try to pretend and become friends that live in the same body?
Hi, my name is Jose Prieto. I play in a band called Make War. I play guitar and I sing in the band. My introduction to punk rock was when I was around 13 or 14 years old. I grew up in Venezuela, in Caracas, Venezuela. And I was like always like, you know, like a typical kid, like skateboarding, surfing with my friends and stuff. And then one day, my cousin showed me The Offsprings, like Inex and The Hombre. And I was like, wow, what is this? Like, this is fast. This is like furious. I like it. Because before that, I was listening to like typical, you know, like Nirvana and Korn and like Limp Bizkit. So Offsprings was like the first record. And then that like introduced me to what punk rock was and how fast it was. And then I slowly got into NoFX and Bad Religion and Lagwagon and Blink-182. I love all those bands and I still love them, but the only problem was that back then I didn't speak any English. I just really, really loved the music, and like I was just always looking for melodies in the vocals and looking for guitar leads and drum parts, and that's what made me really like it. I knew the vocals were going to be great, but I didn't get like really into the vocals like until later on in my life. And I was just like that typical kid, my headphones and my Walkman with me all the time. And I made so many mixtapes, and I just really like to have like just like my headphones on and like listening to punk rock all the time. Like I remember going to parties and just with my headphones and my Walkman, and people thought it was weird. But I was like, I don't like the music that you're playing, so I'm just gonna listen to the music that I like. In Venezuela, like you know, parties are always like, you know, techno or reggaeton or merengue and salsa, which I'm into now. Like now, I love salsa and I love merengue, and I listen to hip hop and especially in Spanish. But back then I was just like, no, I'm a punk rock kid and this is who I am. I skateboard, So that brought me into wanted to start playing music, and the same cousin that showed me The Offspring, he played drums back then and he had a band that I really liked, and I'm like, and they were looking for a second guitar player. And I was like, ooh, like I told my parents and like they liked the idea, so they got me an electric guitar, an Ibanez, like a pink Ibanez. It was like really ridiculous guitar. It had like a Floyd Rose. And as soon as I got it, I stuck like so many stickers on it, you know, cause like I hated the pink color. And I didn't end up making it to my cousin's band, but then my friends were like, I can learn how to play the drums and I can learn how to play the bass. And we slowly started our band and we called us the Go-Go Punkers. Terrible name. And we wanted to sing in English because all the bands that we love like sang in English, and but none of us like really spoke English like at all, or like not even like that well. I used to use this program in my Windows computer, and I just like literally wrote all the songs in Spanish and then like click a button and it translated it, and that's what I was singing on all of our songs.
Were you addressing mental health issues in the songs at that point, or did that kind of come later?
I guess I did without knowing. Mental health, it was like a new thing that got introduced to me by, I don't want to call it an accident because it wasn't an accident, but I had my first panic attack when I was like 29, 30, and I didn't know it was a panic attack. It felt like it was a heart attack. Like my hands were numb, my feet were numb. I was shaking. Like I felt my heart just going like so fast. My vision got blurry. And I told my roommates, like, guys, like I'm having a heart attack. You have to call 911. And they called 911, and then they came in, and my blood pressure was through the roof, and they gave me stuff for the blood pressure, and then they gave me, I'm guessing, something similar to a Xanax or something, and then they took me to the hospital, and they told me, like, oh, no, your heart is totally fine. You just had a panic attack. And then they gave me a bottle of Xanax, and then they said, like, all right, take these for emergencies. And then I started talking and researching more about panic attacks, and because I kept on having it after that all the time. Like as soon as I got my first one, I was just like constantly having them. I was like in fear all the time. Like when it happened in a cab going from work to my house. Like I was working late, like probably like 5 a.m. and it happened in the cab. For a whole year after that, when I went into taxis, like I was like, I started feeling weird. Going back to my first band, I remember having a song that talked about how I woke up and like, I thought I was alive, but I was dead. And like my mom and dad came into the room and they like were crying and I didn't know what was happening. And then the chorus was saying something like, does heaven exist? You know, cause I grew up Catholic. I grew up like really, really believing in God and heaven and hell. I feel like that was my first like anxiety that I didn't know there was anxiety. I believe in ghosts so hard. Like when I was a kid that like, I really thought that they were like in my room, like, I remember playing Ouija board. I couldn't sleep. I was crying. Like, I was like, now that I'm thinking about it, I was like a very anxious kid, but I just didn't know about it. As an adult now, I'm not Catholic. I don't believe in God anymore. I'm more of like a agnostic. And so all those anxieties went away automatically after that.
So you feel like it was tied to the upbringing and the religion, maybe very strict, came to a boil when you were in your late 20s, early 30s?
No, I don't think it was that. I think the boil was, it's a couple of things that were happening. Like my grandfather had just passed away and I was really close to him. And then I was in like a relationship like on and off with this one woman from Florida. And I found out that she got married. I feel like those two things were like a thing. And then I had a pain in my chest that I didn't know what it was. I remember Googling like, what is this pain in my chest? You know, and like Google, of course, will tell you like, it could be a heart thing. It could be this, it could be that. I feel like those three things were like the reason of my first major panic attack.
Stressors building up, and then it's almost like You put the finger in the dam for as long as you can, and then more and more stuff happens, more and more stress, and then at that point, your body and your mind take over.
Yeah.
How do you feel about talking about your panic attacks? That's a really scary thing, and I know a lot of people do have them, but how do you feel about sharing what you went through?
I'm very, very open about it now. Before, I didn't think they exist. I have friends that actually had them before I had mine, and like, I was always like, whatever, just like, be better, or like, whatever, whatever, let's just go out, like, let's, you know, like, shake it off. But now I'm like super, super, super open, like, in therapy, like, for many, many, many years. I just like, I like to talk about it because I didn't think anyone talked to me about it before. So I'll do it with my music, I'll do it with my friends. I try to do it with my family, even though they still, they don't believe in like medicine, and like, it's weird.
And I think a lot of people, like you said, even you were confused about it before you had your own, but this idea that a panic attack just comes out of nowhere would blindside somebody. And I've never had a full-on panic attack before. I have very strong anxiety at times, but is there a lead up to it that you know of, or is it just kind of boom?
That's a good question. I remember the last one that I had was when we were touring in Canada not long ago. I was in the van and I was listening to music on my headphones, and suddenly your mind just like almost goes like sideways, and whatever you're thinking, like, you don't think you can do it. I was like, oh no, like, not now. And suddenly I'm like, I got up and I'm like, I go through everything. Do I tell the bandmates? Do I tell them to stop the van? I have like a little pill thing on my keys for emergencies. Like, do I take a Xanax? Do I wait? It feels like your mind, like, you're not controlling your own body anymore. So like, it's like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what to do. Like, I haven't had one yet anymore that I feel like I'm like literally dying, but like, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're about to die.
Yeah. That sounds super scary.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any trouble when you're on stage with your anxiety? I know a lot of people have performance anxiety before they go on, but you ever felt weird when you're up there playing?
I have stopped the shows like earlier. Like, maybe we have like two or three songs left, and like, I tell my band, like, this is the last song. Thanks for everyone. I feel like my anxiety is like related to my body. Like, I feel like I'm very aware of my body. And like, that's when it started with the heart thing, like with the chest thing, like, I automatically go into like, what is happening with me? And I go like overthinking everything. Right. I remember one time, like, my right arm was getting like a little numb. I just suddenly hyperventilating, and like, so I can't keep singing. There's times when I go on tour and I start losing my voice. Sometimes I lose my voice. Like, luckily on this tour, we had like 8 shows in a row and I haven't lost my voice. But when I start losing my voice, I feel like I'm not able to like breathe in or breathe out as much as usual as I do. I get a little dizzy when I do that, especially when I sing out. So that makes me anxious. Am I going to faint on stage? Like I never fainted on stage, but I've definitely felt like I have to grab the mic and like, I'm feeling very dizzy.
It sounds like you've done a lot of work to, well, first of all, to accept what you're dealing with, but also to learn about it. And you mentioned going to therapy, and it sounds like you're doing a lot of things to take care of yourself. Tell me about that period between finding out and the acceptance that came with it. It took me quite a while with my bipolar to sort of go from being diagnosed and then like kind of say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. It's going to be here for the rest of my life. I have to take medicine. Like, that acceptance piece was tough for me, and I'm wondering how that was for you.
It was hard. It's definitely still hard. As soon as I found that out, like, as soon as I kept on having it, I told myself, I don't want to live like this. Like, I need to find a cure for this. Luckily, I had a job back then, and I had a really good insurance. So like, I went to every doctor. I'm like, all right, check my brain, check my heart. I went inside of those tubes, like, to get an MRI, so, like, for my brain and everything. They couldn't find anything. Like, my heart is fine. My brain is fine. Like, the only thing that I had was I have high blood pressure. That is together with anxiety. So anxious people, especially me, like, when my anxiety goes up, like, my pressure goes up. So sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes when like my blood pressure goes up, then I get anxious. So it's like, I'm one of those people that if pressure goes up, I can feel it because of my anxiety. Some people that I know, they just found out that I have like high blood pressure for many, many years and they never felt it, right? Like, it's like, that's why they call it the silent killer or whatever.
Yeah.
I can feel that. So I found out that I have high blood pressure, and that helped me a little bit understand more about my anxiety. And then I also found out that I have Hashimoto's, which is a thing on my thyroid. It's like your thyroid is like not producing enough hormones. So I was like, okay, when I found those two things, I'm like, okay, I'm slowly finding what's going on. Like, this may be related to my anxiety. So I started taking pills for both of them. And my family was like, you sure you need to take them? Because then you're going to have to take it for the rest of your life. And I talked to my partner, and she was like, listen, like, everyone takes like high blood pressure pills, like literally everyone. And I'm like, okay, let's try it. And that's what I do now. I take those two pills every morning. So accepting my anxiety and my depression and all those like mental health problems that I have, like I said, it was hard because I always wanted to try to find the reason and I wanted to fight it. I was like, no, I'm not this person. I was better before. Like, I can go back to where I was. This new therapy that I'm going through, which is called Gestalt therapy. And my therapist, I've been seeing him for like 5 years now. He started showing me how, all right, like, where do you feel it? Like, you want to talk to it? Like, let's talk to it. Let's confront it. It's fine. Like, what if it's like, you know that your anxiety is going to come and then it's going to go away? Because like, you know, that's what happens. Like, what if you start thinking that way? What if you accept it? And instead of like fighting it, like maybe love it. And like, maybe I'm anxious today. So like, I'm just going to take it easy today, or I'm going to go for a run or something. It's still hard to do that because at some point, I was on a really good streak, like really, really, really good streak. And then suddenly I felt like a panic attack at work. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't like presenting. Someone else like was just like showing something in like normal day. And I had to go to the bathroom like in the middle of this presentation and like take a Xanax and like do worse thing. I'm like, I told myself like, I can't have this at work. If this starting to affect my professional life, then it's going to become a problem. That's when I started medicating it, like a new SSRI. And this one is working very well for me. So therapy definitely has helped me a lot. And this kind of therapy that I've been doing really helped me with my writing process as well. Cause like I started writing a lot more about it, and I started writing in a way that's as like I was talking to my anxiety. So before our first record is all about like my past relationship that I just mentioned. And then the other record is about how dealing with anxiety with like alcohol and drugs and friendship. And this time is my relationship with my own self. So like, I talk to me a lot in this record, and I feel like a lot of people are going to get it, but like some songs are like, they just talked about a relationship. If you don't put one and one together, you can think that I'm talking about, I don't know, a family member or a relationship or whatever, you know?
I really like that idea of confronting mental health issues, but also loving them or embracing them. I think it's really, really hard to be in a constant struggle with what you're dealing with, because it sounds weird, but you're not on the same page, right? So when my mood episodes come, whether depression or mania, it's like, well, if I'm just going with it or fighting it, it's not really going to be productive. But if I know that it's happening, and you're right, it always does pass. Every mental health condition, those feelings pass in whatever way they do. That's a really great idea. And I hadn't heard of that kind of therapy, but it makes a ton of sense. And I'm really glad that you've been able to find that and work on it.
Yeah. That kind of concept is called paradoxical theory of change. That's the theory that is, change can only happen when you stop trying to change it and just accept it. And like, that's when the real change can happen.
Yeah.
And that's what we call our new record.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's great. You mentioned writing lyrics about your life. You mentioned relationships, and then the idea of writing this record, speaking to the anxiety. And you mentioned some people kind of get it, some people don't get all of it. What's been the response to playing these songs live and talking about them? And do you see that light bulb click with people in the audience?
The response has been very well. Like, it's been very well received. Like, you know, I can't stop listening to the song. This is so real. And I love that. One of my favorite things is to like, when I'm at the show and then people come to me and tell me like how much a song's meant to them, it becomes like a little more than just playing shows. It's like, you're doing something for yourself, but you're also doing something for somebody else.
Yeah. And the songs are a way of also dealing with your issues. in themselves. They're like their own therapy, which, you know, scream therapy, right?
Yeah, that's why when I saw the name of your podcast, I'm gonna like this because like I always love the idea of actually doing that at therapy, actually scream on therapy, but I've still never been able to do it. It feels weird screaming in front of someone when you're not on stage. And you mentioned this on your podcast too, but I think that's why to me, like playing shows live, it helps so much when you're meaning what you're singing and then you're like putting it together and then you're screaming it. It's almost like having like a really good cry. Like when you have a really, really good cry, you just let everything out and you feel so much better after.
The concept of scream therapy, if you read a story online or whatever, is this idea that you're just screaming to relieve pressure or to be therapeutic. But really, with punk rock, you're screaming for a reason, whether it's your life, your relationships, even your mental health conditions, you're screaming it out. So that's where the therapy comes from. It's not just the act of screaming. And that's what the punk scene's all about. How do you think punk plays into your health and what you've dealt with the panic attacks? And I would imagine there's a community around you that's very tight, but that idea of listening to your Walkman, listening to these bands, and just being so stoked, have you thought about the connection with what you're dealing with your mental health struggles?
I feel like before knowing like this mental health thing and after like really started to understand like what my favorite bands were singing after learning English, like I almost felt like I wasn't like alone. When you hear bands like, I mean, Lagwagon sings a lot about this, or the Men Singers, like Off With Their Heads is another band that is like, he's always like, all right, this is how I feel.
To describe the awful feeling I have inside. So I shut down. Not the same as it was last time. It's so much worse. It's something that drives me out of my mind. It's a long way back to be anything that anyone.
And I'm like, okay, this is actually also how I feel. So like, it's a good thing that like people are talking about it. I like that, and that's why I wanted to do this too, because I want more people to don't feel alone and to be able to like, it's okay to talk about this. You don't have to keep it all to yourself. But let's be more open.
Yeah, and I mean, the punk scene creates that container for that to be available. There is that place to do it. And I think that's kind of the cool thing about any positive subculture like punk. There's a space being created for being open, and it's not always easy to be open just out there in the world, with mental health especially. It's a place to start. If you can do it there, maybe you can do it at your job or at your school, or it's a great place to at least, I don't want to say practice, but at least kind of implement it.
Well, we've done a couple of tours with people from Punk Rock Saves Lives, and they're great. And that's like a starting there. They provide so much information at the shows for mental health, for like drug addiction, for like everything. And it's free. I think that they're doing a great thing too.
Yeah, I actually had Tina on the podcast. They do tons of great work. Even with the bigger festivals like the Warped Tour and things like that, there is a place there that's being held for mental health advocacy information. I know at Fest they had that as well. So, for somebody who's dealing with panic attacks and maybe is at a beginning stage of learning about it or has had one recently and doesn't quite know even what it is, what would you say to them?
I would say to not be afraid that they always pass. They always pass. Even though you feel like you're dying and you feel like, this is it. And think about it in a way that you're okay. And this is something that is passing through your body and it's gonna go away eventually. I feel like if I knew that before, I would have been better. And also, I will say, try as many things as you can to try to be okay with it, like therapy, but also like medicine. It has helped me a lot. Sometimes you have to take medicine, and sometimes you can only do it with therapy, or sometimes you can do like vitamins or like running, like whatever is your therapy. If it's skateboarding, if it's punk rock, use it and share it and be thankful for it. We only have one life.
I will make it just in time.
That was my conversation with Jose Prieto of Make War, makewarband.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out the newly opened store at screentherapyhq.com/store. And for even more designs, check out Screen Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well. Oh!